Warning, this episode features graphic recreations of crime scene investigations and forensic profiles of the United States' most notorious serial killers. This episode is intended for mature audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. I'm Connor Walsh, and for today's episode, we stepped out of the studio and into the crime scene. I don't care if this video gets demonetized. I'm here to show you what TV stations and other news outlets are too scared to show. We are giving you the authentic Mind of a Serial Killer experience. Thanks to Pitch Publicity NYC, I was invited to attend the U.S. debut of Exhibition Hub / Fevers, the Mind of a Serial Killer exhibition, which launched in New York City on April 17th, ahead of National Crime Victims' Rights Week, April 19th through the 25th. Celebrated every year in April, this week is dedicated to learning about victimization and the effect victimization has on individuals, families, friends, and the community. It also serves to promote laws, policies, and programs that help victims of crime. Being that I manage the production for Mental Health America, topics like this really hit home. Located at the southeast corner of West 14th Street at 6th Avenue, in the center of Manhattan, this 24,500 square foot venue, a former store, has become a reference in New York for hosting some of the best events and exhibitions in town. The Mind of a Serial Killer, The Experience, makes its American debut in New York, marking the first time this immersive psychological attraction has been presented in the United States. Mind of a Serial Killer takes visitors on a chilling 90-minute psychological journey into the minds and investigations of history's most notorious serial killers. Through a series of 20 multi-sensory stops featuring authentic artifacts, crime scene recreations, documentaries, and an exclusive VR investigation experience, the exhibition invites guests to explore how and why some individuals commit the most horrifying crimes. Blending history, psychology, and pop culture, The Mind of a Serial Killer, The Experience, examines the cultural fascination with true crime while shedding light on the victim's stories and the pursuit of justice. I had the pleasure of being guided by celebrity guest host Lakendra Tookes. Lakendra Tookes is a writer, comedian, and entertainment host known for her sharp wit, cultural perspective, and on-camera versatility. A former Saturday Night Live writer and Access Hollywood correspondent, she's the host of the unapologetically bold podcast, Tookes Takes, and recurring guest host on Jeff Lewis Live on SiriusXM. Today, Lakendra is stepping away from the writer's room and the studio to guide us through this fascinating and haunting exhibit. Okay, so before we continue, I need to be honest with you. I originally went down to the exhibit before they opened, and unfortunately, my file storage corrupted and I lost footage from that day. Fortunately, I recorded the audio separately, so we still have my whole discussion with Lakendra. I returned to the exhibit after they opened and then captured all the material that you'll see on today's episode. Whew, okay. Just wanted to get that off of my chest. So, that being said, let's move forward with the episode.
Now, this is the recreation of the investigation room from the 70s, because I think that was really the first time that investigators, police, crime enforcement, the first time they were figuring out, you know, how to study, how to approach, how to catch, you know, these serial killers. So this is a pretty good recreation of what the investigation office was like in the 70s. Lovely typewriter.
I know. When's the last time any of us used a typewriter?
I think never. For me. I'm proud to say never.
There you go.
I definitely used a phone like this.
Oh, same. Absolutely. Still have some. I had something like that in my house up until maybe like a few years ago,
actually.
I think
that one was in the kitchen. We had a phone like that in the
kitchen. Yes, exactly. In the kitchen. We also have one downstairs in the living room, too.
And this is at the time, too, I think that crime enforcement was working more with like psychiatrists, psychologists to see kind of like the patterns to help them figure out how to catch these people, really to kind of like bridge the gap between the psychoanalysts and crime enforcement and the investigators, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's really what this room is about. And then we also have some lovely, well, I wouldn't say it's lovely, but you know, kind of like the history of kind of the beginning of serial killers, serial murder, serial offenders.
H.H. Holmes, Jack the Ripper, not surprised to see these faces here.
I'm surprised to see a couple of ladies back in the day, you know, in our exhibit.
Women representation.
Yes.
There we go.
Here in our exhibit, the only woman represented is Eileen Wuornos.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
We have an Eileen Wuornos room. There's 19 rooms, 19 serial killers.
Yep.
And do you want to walk?
Yeah, let's walk around. Actually, let me get a little B-roll while.
Yeah, because these little display units are actually really good. That one's good.
Nice.
I like that. That looks cool.
One thing that I always find that I never do enough of is pause to get the B-roll.
Yes.
I'm always amazed later how little I have.
I know.
Even when I think I'm doing so much.
I try to like count like
1, 2, 3. I feel you.
They did a really good job with this room too. I mean, honestly, I'm not even like a true crime person.
Yeah.
Because I get scared. But this is really, they did a really, really, really good job. So I actually think this would appeal even to someone who's not a big true crime person. Like me, like the most true crime I get is like Law and Order and Dateline. That's as far as I can go.
Those are still fun.
Yeah. Because I get scared. And to be honest, the rooms are really authentic. Like let's keep walking through, because some of it's a little bit jarring. But if you wanted to get more B-roll, please feel free, because
yeah,
this is a cool room. And if you want me to say more about this room, I mean, I think the most important thing is, you know, just kind of talking about how this is a really good recreation of an investigation from the Senate.
I'm really impressed by it all.
Mm-hmm.
Let us go.
I see.
Ted Bundy.
Probably one of the most notorious serial killers of all time. Like
without
his name,
doubt.
Definitely. I mean, if your last name is Bundy, I'm sorry.
The other Bundy that I relate with is Al Bundy.
Al Bundy.
Yeah.
That's the only Bundy.
You get two versions, and that's it.
That's it. So this is a recreation of Ted Bundy's car. He had a VW Bug. He actually had the passenger seat removed. And I don't know what his logic behind that was. I think in his mind, he thought, oh, it'll be harder for them to escape or something like that.
I heard it's harder to escape and easier to conceal.
Yes. So, I mean, for me, if you invite me to your car and there's no passenger seat, red flag. But some lady sadly still got in, and this is actually the seat.
So is this the real seat or a replica? Do we know?
I think it's a replica.
It's all good.
I mean, obviously the real car, the real seat, these items are incredibly cursed.
Yeah.
So these are some really good recreations. And you know, we all know about Ted Bundy. You know, he was really smart. He was charming. Some people may have considered him to be handsome, and he used all of that to his advantage to lure women to his car.
And by the looks of this,
this represents a lot of the victims. And then look how many presumed, you know, there's so many people he killed that, I mean, we may not ever know the real number, which is just sad. It's hard. I feel bad for the victims' families. You know, that's another element of this exhibition. You know, this certainly is not to glorify these serial killers, you know, like, it's not like Hollywood, you know, I know Zac Efron. I think it's kind of messed up. I don't know what you think. I think it's a little messed up when they have a heartthrob playing a serial killer. Because it's like, don't ruin Zac Efron for me. B, let's not have Ted Bundy thinking a heartthrob's playing me. Like, I don't think that's really, then again, I'm not in casting, so it's not
They didn't consult
me.
You.
They didn't consult me. Next time, consult me. I'm
what?
Like, let an ugly guy play him, you know?
But I know a lot of people have said that they have thought Ted Bundy is handsome.
Yeah.
Personally, me, at least through the pictures, I see the dead in his eyes.
Me too.
And however,
not my type.
But I've only seen pictures.
Right.
Only, you got to think about body language. How is his charisma? All that. So.
Yes, and he was very smart.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I was saying too. It's such a shame. All of these guys, they're smart. Some of them are creative. What if they had used that for something good, you know? But who knows? I mean, that's what I think about too. I'm like, are they just born evil? Are they, you know, there's just clearly something sinister going on in there. And it's just a shame because, I mean, he's not a bad looking guy. And he was clearly very intelligent. And did you get some footage of this too?
These were like the different ploys that he would use. Fake cast, crutch.
Yes. And I think also back in the day, I think today we are a lot more aware. That's another goal of this exhibition is to raise awareness. And so, you know, if you see signs, if you see any, because there's a lot of times when these things happen, parents, people in the neighborhood, kids at school will say, you know, I always thought something was off about him, you know? And I feel like sometimes you do need to kind of like trust your gut on things. Yeah, just, he looks so smug too.
He does.
Mm-mm. And it's also like bad marketing for the Volkswagen Beetle. I'm sure they're like, man, why couldn't you have driven a Chrysler?
But,
okay.
I still like the Bugs.
Me too. They're still cute. Like
right?
When they did their little reboot, that was a while ago, but I think the Bugs are still cute. Just keep the passenger seat in there.
Yes, okay? Keep the passenger seat in there.
Definitely.
Without a doubt.
All right. I'm going to warn you. Here we go. This is our Jeffrey Dahmer room.
Okay.
Now, I knew about Jeffrey Dahmer, but I learned more about Jeffrey Dahmer watching the Ryan Murphy series.
Yes.
Again, where he's played by Evan Peters.
Yep.
Not exactly a heartthrob, but still kind of a cutie pie. So it's like...
They definitely uglied him down for that role, though.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought Niecy Nash was amazing. I want you to open the freezer. Now, this is a recreation of Jeffrey Dahmer's freezer.
All right, let's see. So here we go.
Okay.
And Jesus.
Yeah, that is a torso. Those are those could be, I don't know if those are human livers, but that was his thing. Mm. He liked to chop people up. There was a stench coming from his apartment. One of his neighbors had called the police. Actually, they played the real 911 call in Ryan Murphy's series.
Yeah.
They played the real 911 call of Jeffrey Dahmer's neighbor, who in the series was played by Niecy Nash. They played the real 911 call. And Niecy Nash won an Emmy for that. She deserved it. She nailed that 911 call. Wow. But again, the police weren't really listening to her. They weren't really taking her seriously.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of times when I'm watching Dateline or I'm watching these crime stories, I mean, nothing against law enforcement, thank you for your service. However, sometimes it does feel like they're not, you know, taking action fast enough and they're not listening to people. Sometimes they're taking people seriously. That definitely happened, I believe, in the Jeffrey Dahmer case.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Oh, we are so putting a trigger warning on this episode.
Yes, you're going to have to. And that is, again, why the exhibition is only for people 18 and up.
Yes.
It is disturbing. And there's more.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's more. This is really, and I think, I don't know about you, but like for me, because there's always the question of like, why are we all so fascinated by this? And I think we all are just like, how? Yeah. How is someone capable of such evil, sinister crimes? He was a really creepy guy. I mean, he loved to find his victims at the gay bars. And it seemed like he might have had a pattern for wanting to kill black men or men of color. Yeah, so he kept a big tub like this.
Oh, geez.
Yes. So you can imagine, because he lived in an apartment. So this is pretty much like his living room.
I wonder if he had a real skeleton hung up.
You know what? I wonder.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and also it's just like, well, so the stench,
yep.
He's in a building. And so he would tell his neighbors, oh, I just have a lot of meat. And, you know.
Well, that's not necessarily wrong.
Right. See, that's why you got to say what kind of meat.
Yeah. Wow.
And these are some Polaroids. He liked to take Polaroids of his work, unfortunately. I mean, he's just a deeply disturbed man. Definitely had a lot of demons.
Yeah.
But again, you know, had he used his creativity for something good, things could have been a lot different.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is the Dennis Rader room. He's known as the BTK killer, bind, torture, kill. We were on with Inside Edition yesterday, and one of the reporters on Inside Edition was telling us that he actually interviewed Dennis Rader's daughter. And
really?
she said when the FBI or the police came to her door, her first thought was, oh no, did the BTK killer kill someone in my family or kill my mom? And they were actually at her door to tell her father is actually the BTK killer. And this is a recreation of their home.
Here he's got all the family photos, mm-hmm. and a dead body.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Oh, it feels so unnerving being on this carpet.
I know.
Oh, I don't know. Why is the carpet the unnerving part?
Well, because probably all of our grandmothers, or at least an auntie, had this carpet, had this couch set, and that's what it goes to show too. A lot of these people, you would never guess that they are evil, that they're capable of something like this. And that's something, if you look at all of these guys, they're just regular people in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he's just a guy in the neighborhood. And so it's crazy to think that your neighbor, something like this could be going on in your neighbor's house. Your neighbor who has the same couch as you, who has the same shag carpeting as you, who has the same floral arrangement as you, could have dead bodies in their home. It's so scary. Yeah, it's just so scary. It's so sad. And it's interesting too how some of them like to kind of leave their little calling card.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, BTK.
We don't have a room dedicated to Son of Sam, David Berkowitz.
Yes.
But he used to like to leave letters. And you know, he's actually, do you know that Son of Sam, I did not know this. I did not know that David Berkowitz is still alive.
Oh yeah.
And he's still in prison. I did not know that.
Yeah. And it just goes to show you a lot of these cases weren't that long ago.
That's true too.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true. I believe these are, oh yes, this is this guy, Dr. Shipman.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was a doctor. And what he would do, he would prescribe his patients medication to slowly kill them. And then he would change their will so that they're leaving their estate to him.
Oh my God.
I know. And he was a doctor. You would think you can trust your doctor.
You would hope.
You would hope.
But that's some twisted stuff. And here's some of the replicas of the medicine. Wow.
And he got away with it for a while. So finally somebody's, you know, the deceased children were like, wait a minute, I don't think my mother was that close to her doctor.
Yeah.
All right, now we are entering another serial killer that I think a lot of us have heard of, John Wayne Gacy, the killer clown.
Yeah.
Now, I was scared of clowns before I even heard of him, but I think that, I don't know if he's the originator of the scary clown, but he used to perform at kids' birthday parties.
Yeah.
That is, again...
Remember in 2016 when, like, the killer clown trend was back again?
Yes.
He would have thrived.
He would have. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Lord.
I know.
Look at that down the hall. Not fun. Oh my God.
And I believe this down here, this is a recreation of you. Actually, all of this is good if you want to get this. This is a recreation of some of his artwork.
Oh, geez. This is stuff that he created.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, this guy was the real Joker.
Mm-hmm. Terrible. Pogo the Clown.
That's disturbing.
Very.
When I have kids, they're never having a clown at their party?
No. No, we don't do clowns. Except Bozo the Clown, I don't do.
Oh, yeah. Bozo's
Bozo the Clown's okay. He's like, don't get me confused with that other guy.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
there was
Ed Gein.
And Charlie Hunnam played Ed Gein.
Yep.
Which I'm like, again, you're ruining a heartthrob for me. But if you'll follow me this way.
Inspired, of course, Psycho.
Yes.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre and many films to come.
Yes.
Mother knows best.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of, I mean, listen, I'm not a doctor, but I think a lot of these guys have mommy issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them do.
Well,
Ed
Gein certainly
did. Here's his workroom.
Well, if that doesn't scream Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I don't know what does.
And I wasn't sure if this inspired Silence of the Lambs. Because he liked to skin people and animals.
Well, I know, yes, Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill was inspired by Ed Gein, while people like Dahmer and Bundy inspired more of the Hannibal Lecter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, gross.
Wow. Hey there. Right. Oh, geez.
Maybe they moved it. Yesterday they had a little... Right on the sewing machine, there was the skin of a face.
Oh, geez.
That might have been a little.
Oh, you're telling me that the skin of a face got moved?
It got moved.
That's unnerving to hear, too.
So this used to be a little scarier. Yesterday was a little
I don't
scarier.
Know. Knowing that something got moved, that somebody's face is gone, that's actually more scary.
I know, it's scary. Where'd it go? And this is, again, this is our only woman.
Yes.
Eileen Wuornos. And she's from Florida. You know, I'm from Florida. I think a lot, I could talk about Florida because I'm from Florida. And we have a lot of characters in Florida, I'll just say. This is a recreation of her car, a Firebird. And if you want to take a look, she's got,
Welcome
she used to rob her victims. You know, she was a prostitute for a while too.
Am I thinking of the right thing? Was there a movie where Charlize Theron played her?
Yes, again, Charlize Theron really had to... She had to change her looks a lot. I mean, I don't want to use the word ugly, but Charlize Theron, a beautiful woman, she really, you know, she got into character to play, you know, Eileen Wuornos. That movie was called Monster, right? Yes, Monster.
Yeah.
I think Eileen is definitely, would you say she's the most notorious female serial killer?
She's definitely one of the most familiar faces that I know female-wise,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Last Resort Bar. All right, remind me never to get a drink there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah, last resort.
It's your last resort.
Last resort.
All right, now this is...
Thank you.
Now, I feel like gun violence gets associated with the United States a lot. However, this is one of our...
Soviet Union, so Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He liked to tie his victims to... I'll let you see it.
Oh, jeez.
I know. Terrible.
That's one way to dispose of the bodies.
I know. Terrible. I'm going to get him.
The Rostov Reaper.
Mm-hmm. The Rostov Reaper.
Thank you.
All right, let me show you another room. Now, this is the room that freaked me out the most.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, no, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Not
okay.
yet.
We're getting there.
This is a Colombian killer. He was kind of posing as like a cult. He was kind of a cult leader type of guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're walking into Poison Ivy's lair.
Definitely.
So, with him, was he using like these herbs and plants to like poison people? Was that the idea, or was he hiding people in the plants? Oh, he's hiding some people in them.
Yes.
There we go. They were his fertilizer.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if you got it, but in the killer clown Gacy room.
Yes.
They had like a representation of, because he used to bury his victims in the backyard.
Oh.
And so they had like the bones, and it's creepy. I don't understand the people who kill children. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but maybe it's good. Maybe it's good that I don't know. Maybe it's good that I don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, the fact that we have that separation,
mm-hmm.
I think that's on our side.
Definitely. And I mean, a lot of these serial killers, too, which I'm sure you know, they have these things. Some are into manipulation. A lot of them are into control. And I think that, you know, a lot of us, we want to control things. This is our only Asian American serial killer.
Mm.
Like, and then we have this. Now, see, this is. Had you been doing this back in the day, this is the type of camera you would have had.
Oh. Oh, wow.
And he liked to film his deeds.
The Miranda Project.
Mm-hmm. And then this thing's.
Oh, this is a recreation of H.H. Holmes' killings.
Okay. Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because with H.H. Holmes, this was his. Yeah, this is the murder castle that he had. What was it? Was it the World's Fair in Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah. I also love the speculation that Jack the Ripper might actually be H.H. Holmes, because apparently H.H. Holmes did spend some time over in London around the same time that Jack the Ripper was at large.
Oh my.
Ooh. I don't know if there's enough to actually concretely say yes to that, mm-hmm. but it's an interesting theory nonetheless.
Yes. Domination and control, as we were just talking about. That's what
we're just talking about.
And then we have a little Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Yes.
He terrorized Los Angeles. Creepy. I mean, he's got a scary look.
Oh, the teeth right there. He needs a dentist.
Yes. He had a thing about his teeth. I watched a documentary about him. He had a thing about his teeth. I think when he was in prison, he really wanted them to like fix his teeth.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is the room, this is the area that really freaked me out yesterday.
Oh, geez.
This guy, Richard Chase, he believed that there was healing powers in drinking blood, both human and sadly, I don't know if you could. I mean, that freaked me out yesterday. When I first saw that, that messed me up.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
True Dracula style
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. And then Armin Muse, he was a cannibal.
Guy
known as the Rottenberg Cannibal. Fred West and Rosemary West. Killer couple.
Couples that kill together stay together.
Mm-hmm. They're And I mean, again, look at them. They look like a happy couple.
Just somebody who would be your next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm. That's what scares me the most about this.
Yeah.
Is how many of these people look quote unquote normal.
Oh and boy, then, what are we walking into now?
Now this is kind of, you know, we definitely with this exhibit also, we wanna, you know, have reverence for victims and their families. And also this room, because like we were saying, you know, the manipulation, the control, the domination, those are traits that a lot of us possess. And so this room is really a good room to take a look in the mirror and say, hey, do I have any of these traits? You know, what's going on with me? Could I end up with my room in an exhibit like this one day? I hope not. If they ever do an exhibit about really nice girls, I hope I'm there. I hope I have a room there.
On great entertainment, TV, and radio.
Yes.
Where you'll be.
That's where I'll be.
Now, out of all the different exhibits that we went through, I got to say, this one was probably the most chilling because it really reminded you that there are real people. These are not just some characters made up for a movie to entertain us. These were real people who really suffered, and the families and the friends and the loved ones that had to deal with the consequences afterwards. I felt all of that emotion when I was in this room. And if you ever get a chance to witness this in person, really take a moment and soak it all in when you're in this room of mirrors.
Okay. And the VR room is actually cool because we were talking about yesterday, so it was like, wait, are we running away from a serial killer? No. In the VR room, you're in the role of the investigator, yeah, and you're trying to solve the crime. So it's kind of cool. I don't want to mess up my makeup, but... But yeah, it's actually like, it's really cool. And you go in here, wait, they're not on right now. But if you want to get some footage. See, it almost like, it kind of gives a little bit like escape room a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're in here and then you are the detective. You are the investigator. So don't worry. You're not running away from the serial killer. You're catching him.
So yeah, LaKendra, you've been saying that you guys have been doing a lot of these little exposés in a way with, mm-hmm, you said, with Fox, with Insider, with all these other ones. Pix11's coming in right after me. Mm-hmm. I'm cool to be in the middle of all this. That's sick. But what's it like to have your entertainment background and to be able to pitch a place like this to, you know, all these different news broadcasters?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think we're all just so curious about serial killers, about murders, about crime. Yeah. I think because the rest of us are just so, like, our brains don't go there, like we were saying earlier, like our brains do not go there. So I think a lot of us are just super curious, super interested. So it's actually an easy pitch because everybody wants to see something like this because we're all, like, I mean, I fall asleep every night watching either Law & Order or Investigation ID. So do my parents. I mean, my parents schedule their evenings around watching all their favorite crime shows. So I think we are just all in our crime era right now, watching it, not committing it, watching it, learning everything about it. And people are just so into it right now, as you know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, my girlfriend, I don't think I got a chance to mention this to you. That's what she went to school for, criminal justice.
Oh, really?
So she works for the New York State Police.
You have to bring her here.
Oh no, when I told her that I was coming here, she's like, I'm so jealous. If I didn't have to work today, But yeah, no, we're definitely bringing her back down here. So for when I bring her back down here and other people come and visit all of this, people should be able to come here for a while afterwards,
right? Yeah, at least 3 to 4 months, maybe longer. I predict it's gonna be going longer because I think that people are gonna wanna come and come again. Because I think you're gonna see something a little bit different or something you missed every time you come, you know? Because, I mean, I know for me now, I just saw this for the first time yesterday, and being back here today, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even see that. And now I'm scared again, you know?
Catching new things every time, for sure. And I think that's what's interesting about it. As we were going around and you were saying, it's like, we're not glorifying this, we're trying to teach.
Absolutely.
And you see the crime shows like Criminal Minds, Dateline and all that, where they're trying to build a profile. With an exhibit like this, what is the goal to try to educate the public with?
Yeah, I think the goal here, like in Hollywood, it's all about spectacle, sensationalism.
Yeah.
Here, it's more about science. It's more about like kind of bridging that gap between like, you know, the crime enforcement, the investigators, the detective, and the psychological perspective. Because, you know, all of these people clearly have issues. And that's why I was saying people like your girlfriend that are studying criminal justice, people that are studying forensics, anybody like that, those are people that are definitely going to want to come and see something like this. And I think those are the people that are going to get the most out of it. And I do think that is an important part of this. You know, mental health is important.
Yeah.
And it's something that we have to talk about a lot in our country. And I think we should keep talking about it. I think it's an important conversation that we all need to be having all the time.
Without a doubt. I find this very kind of ironic in a way because I manage the Mental Health America studios in Poughkeepsie. So that's where we do a lot of our filming and taping when we're not out on the road. So it's really ironic in actually the best way that we're observing like the mental health and what it means for this. Imagine what it would have been like, say 60s, 70s, 80s, when a lot of these serial killers, as we just went around and witnessed, imagine if there was more access to mental health back then.
Yeah.
Mental health care.
Yes, and that is, and that's another thing here, just, you know, raising awareness and being able to see those signs. Like, there's signs, a lot of these people, there were signs early on that people missed. So I think it is important, if you see those, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just, hey, dude, are you okay? Yeah. You know, like, sometimes that's enough. Sometimes that's when my dad will text me. He'll just say, he's not heard from me for a couple days. He'll text me, he'll just say, you good?
Amen.
I say, yeah, I'm good.
There you go.
That's it. And I think sometimes that's important. I think a lot of these people are isolated. They don't have friends. It's sad. We see it now. We see it with the incels. I mean, I don't want to go too far.
Trust me, I hear you though, but that's something that's going on. And, you know, I'm sure a number of these guys could probably be considered incels back in their time period as well, and can be considered a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And if you had, it's ironic in the time period that we're in now, you know, you've been in entertainment, you've been working in radio, TV for a long time, and you're very well-versed when it comes to digital media. But it's ironic that we have an isolation epidemic when we have so many forms of communication.
Yeah.
It's almost too much.
It's almost too much. And I think that it can actually lead to disconnection because you're communicating, but are you connected?
Yes.
So, you know, it's like we're all online. We're all on our phones. We're all on our phones all the time. Like, you don't really have the human to human connection like we should. And I think that we need that as human beings. I mean, I've been saying this, but the one thing we all have in common with these serial killers is that we're all human beings.
Yes, without a doubt. And you know what? Like, I know you guys are checking it out on a phone or a computer right now, but these are real genuine conversations that we're having, and hey, I'm out of the studio today, and this is great, and I'm happy to get this connection, so much appreciated. LaKendra, where can people find you? Of course, you are a recurring guest host on
Jeff Lewis Live on SiriusXM's Radio Andy, and then I have my podcast, Tooks Takes.
Yep.
It's a little bit different. We talk about reality TV, we talk about gossip, we talk about me, so it's a little bit different, but we have a good time.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's lovely. Make sure that you check those all out, and of course, we're going to have links in the description of this episode, so you can follow along with all of her programs, and of course, the Mind of a Serial Killer exhibition here in New York City.
In New York, right at the corner of 14th and 6th, near Union Square, ongoing for a while, I think.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. Definitely great for spring and summer as people are getting out for school.
Yes.
Or actually, I wouldn't be surprised if you could get some field trips down here. This would be neat.
Well, for older kids.
Older kids, don't bring elementary schoolers. Like,
get a babysitter.
High school through college, that would work.
Definitely.
I'm Connor.
I'm LaKendra.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
Once again, special thanks to Amy, Leah, and Maya from Pitch Publicity NYC for having us. Thank you to Exhibition Hub, Fever, and the Mind of a Serial Killer Experience. Thank you to LaKendra Tookes for the wonderful tour that we had today. To learn more about National Crime Victims' Rights Week, please visit the Department of Justice's Office for Victims of Crimes website.